Hello, everybody. This is P. Norman Grant once again with the Grapefruit Express. Another look at the news, the fake news, the wannabe news, the manufactured news, the implied news, and analyze, synthesize, summarize, criticize, anything that passes for news. Why grapefruit? Well, we're sweet on conservatism and sour on liberalism, just like a big old red grapefruit, grown here in the Treasure Coast of Florida. This edition is titled The Great Migrant Disappearing Act. Where are those migrants going? Well, I opened up my paper the other day, waiting for some news. Usually it's on, well, here's the Brightline. Brightline commuter pass is going down. Commuters are going down, but the passes are going up. That makes sense. They're trying to redo this whole Brightline train from Miami to Orlando. Very few people love it. Getting more expensive, less travelers. Free orange juice over here. Save the manatee story over there. And on the top, an interesting headline. State fights feds on immigration. Sides face off in appeals court over detention policies. Well, this is what's going on, folks. Ron DeSantis has said that he is not going to be sitting back and waiting for all the migrants to just swarm over his state. Now, many have been let through, and many have been on waiting lists to get naturalized legally. And, of course, there are the illegals here that just depend on the graces of the NGOs, like the Catholic Charities and other kind of social network people who are just bound and determined to change the culture of the United States by having flooding our country with people from other nations, cultures, ethnicities, languages. They don't even like rock and roll, these people. How can we let them in the country? Well, we are. And the fight becomes clearer when you read this. We'll read it for you. Tallahassee. Florida and the federal government squared off this week in an appeals court about whether the state could legally challenge Biden administration policies that led to undocumented immigrants being released from detention. Now, we have to assume that they're detained, because there are those who are detained, and there's another 50% that are not detained. So when we get numbers to you, these are the numbers that they have estimated by the people who are detaining people. Most of them are voluntarily being detained, because then we get to a naturalization process, maybe a social security number, maybe be able to vote, and like that, well taken care of. In fact, some of them have phones. They've got an app. They have an app that they can cross. They have new shoes, good clothes, good food. Maybe they'll get a couple of books. Maybe they'll get my book, Tales of Young Patriots. Maybe we'll give them those books. No way. Not yet. But lawyers for the two sides filed briefs late Monday at the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. That's in Atlanta. Why isn't there one in Florida? Governor Ron DeSantis and Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody have made high-profile issue of criticizing the Biden administration's handling of immigration issues. But the U.S. Supreme Court ruled last year that Texas and Louisiana did not have legal standing to challenge certain immigration policies, says Jim Saunders, the news service of Florida. So we know that there's a curveball in there. If it comes from Tallahassee, it's from the left. So Texas and Louisiana, they got shot down. So why should Florida stand up and protest the policies of Biden? Well, in light of the Supreme Court ruling, the Atlanta-based appeals court ordered Florida and the federal government to file more briefs about whether the state had standing to challenge what are known as parole policies. So here's the dynamic, people. The feds, the ones in charge, are looking at the little states, the teeny-weeny little states. They have little cute little governors. They have cute little capitals. And they have counties and stuff. But no, but that's the feds. It's Washington. Washington is the behemoth, is the one in charge of federal immigration. So they're standing. The feds, under Biden, this is not the Supreme Court so much, but under Biden, they want the feds to rule the borders. This is why Mayorkas was not impeached by the Senate. Now, they're totally down with inviting the world to come here. We'll find out later why. There's some speculation. So it's the parole, they call it the parole policies. So lawyers in Moody's office wrote that the Supreme Court case does not bar Florida's challenge, largely because the Texas-Louisiana case focused on issues related to arresting migrants, while Florida challenge involves paroling people who have already been detained. So if they're paroled, grapefruiters, these people can go about their business anywhere they want. Apparently, it's not the same as a parole when you've had some kind of assault battery and you've been in jail and you have a parole officer, it's not that formal. It's just called parole because you obviously committed a minor indiscretion by crossing the border without permission. So now you have parole, immigration parole. It says here, this is in the Press Journal, Texas involved the executive branch's historic discretion to enforce federal law, the state's 35-page brief said. But here, the challenged policies are much more than a mere failure to enforce the act. If you were enforcing them, as Florida would, then we have some sanity. But here it goes. They instead confer temporary legal status and other statutory benefits in the form of parole. In other words, if you have parole, you're almost legal in the state. So the parole status is what's being challenged by the governor. But in the 34-page brief, U.S. Department of Justice lawyers called such a distinction immaterial. In other words, the feds are calling it immaterial that the state is saying that the statutory benefits, I mean statutory benefits, could be food, could be education, could be clothes, could be a Social Security number. Imagine illegals getting Social Security. It's on the books, people. Here, DHS, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's parole policies, reflected decisions about how to best use its limited resources to process and detain non-citizens who unlawfully entered the United States during particular periods of time, the Justice Department brief said. Let me go over this again. It said, the policies reflected decisions about how to best use its limited resources. This is a typical ploy. They say, well, we have limited resources. We can't hold that whole wall. We can't build a wall. We can't pay all these Border Patrol people. So we need the states to help us out with a little parole. Well, this parole is the license. It's like giving your, it's like a learner's permit. If I'm driving a car, well, I have New Jersey, we have learner's permits. But now you can use it as you drive an 18-wheeler with your learner permit. You go anywhere you want to in the state if you're on parole, immigration parole. This is what DeSantis and Moody are talking about. So Florida filed a lawsuit, okay? It says, in September, challenging Biden administration policies, the lawsuit ultimately led to two rulings last year by District Judge Kent Wetherill. It said, policies known as parole plus alternatives to detention and parole with conditions violated federal law. And so the feds put down the federal law, and Florida is saying that these federal laws violate the state's rights, and they're illegal. Violate if the ones that they the feds wrote, were actually violating their own laws. That's what's up. The Pensacola-based judge issued the rulings before the Supreme Court decided Texas and Louisiana cases. Justice Department attorneys, who have long argued that Florida did not have legal standing, took the dispute to the Atlanta-based appeals court. So they're in Atlanta, talking about whether you should have parole for all these illegals to make them one step closer to being not harassed. They don't have to have a letter of appeal. They have a notice to appeal, notice to appear, and all kinds of notices, and they're filling their pockets with cell phones, brand new shoes, maybe portable chess boards. I don't know. They're getting a lot of help. But really what it is a notice to disappear. Usually they have an NTA, a notice to appear, and that's what they base this parole on. If you have a notice and you've seen a judge or you saw a person who looked like a judge, you saw a person who impersonated a judge or someone who said he was a judge, could be an NGO socialist that says, hey, I'm going to give you a parole. And they can take off. After the Supreme Court decision, the appeals court in February directed Wetherill to consider again whether Florida had jurisdiction. So the feds are saying that you don't have jurisdiction over anything to do with federal immigration. And DeSantis and Abbott in Texas, and I don't know who the governor of Louisiana is, they're saying, wait a minute, these illegals are coming across our states. We have standing. So the policies at issue in these cases, the Florida cases, do not involve arrest or prosecution, but rather explain how DHS will exercise its statutory parole authority with respect to aliens who are already in DHS custody after arriving at the southwest border. Now, this piece doesn't say that they arrived illegally, does it? No. They just arrived. Could be flown in. Maybe they've flown in. We had the illegal eagles flying as eagles a couple of editions ago. Remember? Grapefruiters? So if they can be flown in, and you can see them at the southwest border, they're just arriving with bag and baggage. How much baggage do you see, people, when you see the people coming over the border? They don't have any baggage. You know why? Because the NGOs, the non-governmental organizations, are going to just donate their bags. It may be coming from your money. Your money. Your money goes to Salvation Army, Catholic Charities, and many others that we will elucidate here. We've revealed a lot of them already. All right, so they don't have the money to help out, so they have this, have to have the states be the ones who are going to accept the paroles. They're already here, and it says they don't have enough money to do it. They're already in custody. They call it custody. Department of Homeland Security custody. Have you seen people in custody? Where do you see visions of people who are locked up? Are they locked up? Do they have ankle bracelets, monitors? Do they have people photographing them at all times to make sure that they're just going to stay where they're? No, they're not staying anywhere. These detention centers are empty. There's nothing in the detention centers. You can't separate the children from their families anymore because they're all beaten feet. They're getting on the wagon train or the airplane and splitting because they're on parole. They have the parole. So after, let's say, Florida also contends that it has standing because of costs associated with migrants coming to the state. As an example, it said the state faces costs for education, educating additional children. This is one of the bugaboos that the lefties say that these people coming across the border have a net gain for our economy. Bullshit, I say. You do not have an equal benefit for millions of people coming through the border. They are not making us money. Some of them will cut your grass. I've heard recently here in our town that some of the rich folks, they want to have temporary housing nearby their palatial estates to house these unfortunate creatures so they can have a new feudal system. Maybe they'll bring some chickens and goats with them. And they can park in your backyard. We'll make a little double wide and just have them permanently sit on your plot. You got a couple acres? Sure, that's what they did. But I'm telling you, we've got rich people around the world. They get the upper 1%, the lefty 1%. They said, they'll accommodate a few servants. Sure. So Florida contends that it has standing because of costs associated, the cost of educating, the cost of extra beds in the hospitals, extra jail cells, extra police. Do you think that's going to add up to a benefit when these people come over and clean your grass? Huh? They're going to dust your sidewalk. So the district court correctly concluded that DHS's policies authorizing the mass parole of aliens into Florida impose financial costs on Florida as well as injure Florida's quasi-sovereign interest in the territory and the presence and movement of unauthorized aliens within its borders. This is what the Florida brief said. It has financial costs. The mass parole of aliens into Florida impose financial costs as well as injure Florida's quasi. What does the Justice Department come and say? The Justice Department lawyers wrote that Florida alleges an indirect injury and failed to provide sufficient evidence of them. It provides insufficient evidence of the harm. In other words, the feds are saying it's cool to have 10 million people just disappear into your country because they're on parole and they have a date. Yeah, notice to appear. No, they have a notice to disappear. A notice to disappear. That's the parole. So following the Supreme Court decision in Texas and Louisiana, it is no longer sufficient for a state to argue that a change in federal policy may increase population and indirectly change state expenditures with respect to the driver's license, education, health care, or law enforcement, the Justice Department said. So they're denying that there's any pain in the butt for all these people coming in, okay? Nothing I see here about voting rolls. How do they get to vote? Well, they can get a Social Security number, which they can. We'll go into that in just a minute. But finding standing whenever a change in federal policy would cause some incidental cost to states would allow any state to challenge any change in immigration policy, says the Fed. So you stay away from being picky with our federal policies because it's incidental costs. The cost of 10,000 people coming across the border into Florida and hanging out at your municipal pool is incidental. Not much money, not a pain. It's not an injury, okay? So finding standing, this is where the Justice Department brief said, finding standing whenever a change in federal policy would cause some incidental costs. It's not incidental, people. It's an attack on the culture. Okay, it would improperly draw courts into generalized grievances on behalf of states that were unable to obtain their preferred policy outcomes through the political process. In other words, elections have consequences. That's what they're talking about. If you didn't vote for this, we'll make up the vote for our executive action, our Biden administration, our Mayorkas, our Department of Homeland Security. Are you getting this? So, soon after picking up the paper, I get some mail from FAIR, Federation for American Immigration Reform. So the new FAIR report examines unprecedented abuse of parole by the Biden administration. How much of a coincidence is that? Yeah, it's kismet. It's fate that they opened up the mail right after I read this report in the local fake news, the fish wrap. So here's immigration report from FAIR. Yeah, serendipitous that I just opened it up. Here it is. New FAIR report examines unprecedented abuse of parole by the Biden administration. So the feds are arguing that parole is good because it's going to officially keep track of these people, even though they have a notice to disappear. Are you following this? So in addition to its well-documented and highly visible open border policies, the Biden administration has been quietly abusing its very limited parole authority to let foreign nationals enter the U.S. en masse. That's a French word. In a new report, Immigration Parole, the Executive Branch's Shadow Immigration System, that's what it is, a shadow immigration system. FAIR's research department reveals that the abuse of this authority under President Biden has become so massive that the number of illegal aliens now being allowed to enter the United States under parole, there we go, just saw it, now exceeds the number of people who are admitted to the country through our legal immigration system. I think that's maybe a little understated. I think we passed that number a while ago. FAIR's report found that during the first two quarters, this is a bunch of numbers coming through, grapefruiters, catch a load of this. FAIR's report found that during the first two quarters of fiscal year 2023, 636,000 foreign nationals gained entry to the United States under parole, compared with 545,000 who were granted green cards through a legal immigration process. The first half of fiscal year 23 was no anomaly. During the two-year period between October 21 and October 23, the Biden administration paroled in at least 1.8 million individuals, giving them nearly the same benefits as green card holders. Green card holders are here legally. They have permission. They've gone through their checks. They have been vetted while imposing a huge burden on American society at large. So the people with green cards have jobs. They may have social security numbers, even though they're not citizens. Non-citizens can have social security numbers, I'm telling you. This indiscriminate use of parole also poses a danger to the safety and well-being of the American public. Jose Ibarra, the alleged murderer of Lakin Riley, a 22-year-old nursing student in Athens, was among the estimated 1.8 million illegal aliens granted parole by the Biden administration between October 21 and 23. So the numbers have come up huge, huge since 21. Why have the numbers come up huge since 21? Oh, Joe Biden was president. Now, why would Joe Biden want all these illegals into this country? We keep asking ourselves. It's just because we're fair. We're a good country. Don't you have a heart? You must care. You have to care for the people who aren't you. You have to care for the people who make money, make less money than you, who are not as good looking as you. We just feel bad for these people because they're not us. So the true number of Americans killed or victimized by illegal alien criminals is much higher, but given many new outlets deliberately do not reveal the immigration status of suspects. We like to keep it on the lowdown in the news. That's why we exhume some of these stories, pick through the bones of these stories and say, well, where are the other ones? Where are the real crimes? The crime is down? Really? So this parole will no doubt increase the number of times tragedies like the Lake and Riley murder occur. So the feds say there's no harm in illegals on parole. Well, we see the body count. We see the pickpockets. We see the people blocking the roads. Tents in your backyard. So there is a harm. There is an injury. As the report details, Congress first granted the president authority to allow otherwise inadmissible aliens in 1953. The authority came with explicit limitations. The legislative history makes the abundantly clear by emphasizing the intention was to parole inadmissible aliens into the United States in emergency cases, such as the case of an alien who requires immediate medical attention before there has been an opportunity for an immigration officer to inspect him. We can understand that. Imagine Ellis Island, where they're inspecting people. And in cases where, by the way, my grandmother is on her plaque. I got a plaque for her up in Ellis Island. Legal immigration. She got the shots. It was pneumonia. She had some other shots. I guess they promised that they're not communist. That was part of it. I think they promised that they weren't homosexual. Or else they put you back on that ship and go back to Portugal, wherever. So similarly, Congress made it clear that parolees were to leave the country once the circumstance of their parole had been satisfied. If they have a good job, they didn't get a good job, they would be returned to their country so they could be parole would you be? You would have your parole officer, and you really would have a person. Can you imagine 100 million people having a parole officer that they report to? They don't have to report to nobody. They don't need no stinking courtroom. The Biden administration is not the first to exceed the intended purpose of parole authority, but no previous administration has abused parole power on the massive scale that the Biden administration has. Okay, so they go on and on. Well, here's numbers down here. Among the Biden administration's most egregious abuses of parole authority include creation of the Customs and Border Protection One app. So they have an app that allows as many as 40,000 illegal aliens a month to cross at border ports of entry. And so they sign up for the parole at 40,000 per. Now, here are some from the beautiful countries. Country-specific parole programs for Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans that allow as many as 360,000 inadmissible aliens a year to fly directly to the United States. That's 30,000 a month can fly to the United States. And all you have to answer is this question. Have you got a cousin? This is how you get into the – as soon as you get there, you got a cousin somewhere, and they can make up the name. Boom, parole. Family reunification parole for the above-mentioned nationalities, plus citizens of Colombia, El Salvador, Guatemala, Ecuador, and Honduras. Ugh, unbelievable. It's a shadow immigration system. So another part of this FAIR document – again, this is the Federation for American Immigration Reform. Another document. How many of these – paroled people get to see a parole officer, get to back to the judges, get back to the courts. How many? Well, this is another part of the FAIR document. Even as the Senate refuses to act on the articles of impeachment against Mayorkas, the evidence of his dereliction of duty continues to mount. Now, we wonder if this is, as this copy starts to imply, is it a incompetence? Is this incompetence by Mayorkas? Or is it intentional? If it's intentional, we have some pernicious stuff going on here, folks. And DeSantis is aware of it. Even as the Senate's refusing to impeach him, immigration judges have dismissed some 200,000 deportation cases. These are the legits 200 deportation cases. So if you are paroled and you're part of the transactional, what they call the Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse, they're tracking you. That says you're tracking. They're not tracked. You have the notice to appear. But 200,000 deportation cases dismissed since Biden took office. It is, again, the notice to disappear. Fewer than 1% of cases were dismissed due to failure to file NTAs, but those numbers exploded once Mayorkas assumed office, jumping from 6,000. What they're doing is they're putting fake numbers up here. And it looks like they're doing their job, but then they file too late. Their filings are just haphazard. It's just sort of in error. No, it's not in error. Kids, it's not an error. They're throwing away the notices. In immigration courts in Miami and Houston, more than 50% of the cases were dismissed because notice to appears were not filed. They're not even filing them. So it's a notice to disappear. The track reports. All right. Whether the alarming number of cases being dismissed for lack of paperwork is a result of gross incompetence or deliberate sabotage on the part of an administration that has little interest in removing illegal aliens from the United States, what is absolutely clear is that Alejandro Mayorkas is not fit to lead the DHS. People, this we know. The question is, who's in charge of Alejandro? He's a disgusting-looking human. I wouldn't want him coming over the border. I'd have a handsome standard. You have to be at least good-looking. If you're going to be illegal or enable the illegals, you got to be better-looking than Alejandro. The House has already done its part, but the Senate just kiboshed it. So it was dismissed. It was dismissed. So the Biden administration, Department of Homeland Security, pretends that they're going to put these people on parole and have them actually be accountable. But DeSantis knows that's blown out. That's blown up. It's blown up. They're not doing it. So they're fighting the feds. Just be it known that DeSantis is fighting the feds with Ashley Moody. And there is this tug of war going on. I hate to couch the word war, but this is more evidence than ever that if people want to provoke a civil war, this is how things start. Because the states are against, especially the border states, which now probably include about a third of the states in the country, have got people who want enemies to come into our country and to take over our country. It's just very clear. Let alone Social Security cards and numbers, we'll get to that in another piece. They're getting Social Security. Illegals are getting Social Security. Illegals are going to be counted as constituents for Democrat representatives. And ultimately, before we croak here on the Grapefruit Express, the Grapefruit Agenda, they're going to be people voting who are foreigners. They're from other countries, and they're going to vote in our elections. We have to watch out. Be armed, people. Have your antenna up. And buy my book, Tales of Young Patriots. That'll help you out. It'll ease your mind. Give you some nice, easy reading. Otherwise, we will see you. You can squeeze in another Grapefruit Agenda whenever you can.